Good morning. Last week, if you were here last week, we talked a lot about Christian citizenship, about getting out to be a part of our world, to be salt and light in the midst of the world in which we live. We talked a little bit about what's going to happen, you know, coming up this next week and how we need to be involved in that process. As Christians, we need to be involved in that process. But I want you to think today about how our whole society is focused on who's going to win certain elections. Isn't that true? I mean, that's all you hear on the radio. That's all you hear on television. You know, you can't get away from it. You really can't get away from it. And so we are so focused on, you know, who's going to win this election, who's going to win the next election. And, of course, this is a presidential election here, so everybody's focused on, you know, who's going to win the big one. And I think it's important that you get out and you know, as a responsible Christian, make your voice heard. I've never felt like it was appropriate at all to tell people what they should do. You need to pray to God, and God will lead you in what you should do in that regard. But we put so much focus on people. And the way I understand our faith is not about people. It's about the God that we serve. And in the midst of it all, whether we're in a good time or we're in a bad time, whether our life is prosperous and rolling along, or whether we feel like we're in want and things are tough, is our focus ever supposed to change? No. It's always supposed to be on our God. And so I want to focus very quickly this morning on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what the Bible tells us about Him. You know, I used to look in the paper and you'd find all these churches, and now that's not a good thing to do because people don't use the paper anymore, do they? No. But you can Google churches. Google church, Google Christian, and all these different churches come up of different stripes and different denominations and different ideas, different thoughts about certain things. And one group, you know, might say, well, you know, we believe in Jesus. And we believe He was a man, a good man. But we don't believe in the virgin birth. We don't believe He was born a virgin. And maybe another group might say, I believe He's the Son of God, but not God. He's the Son of God, but He's not God. Another group might say, well, I believe in Jesus, but you know, He was not around before He was born in Bethlehem. He came on the scene when He was born in Bethlehem. And, you know, He did not die on a cross. He did not rise from the dead. Jesus is simply the embodiment of an ideal. He's the embodiment of a principle. That's the Jesus I believe in. Another group might say, well, I believe in Jesus. You know, his name is on the front of our church. Yet, you know, we believe that He was the spirit brother of Lucifer. And while He came in the flesh and Jesus became a God, that's God with a small g, not a big one. And as He became a God, but you know what? All of us can become gods too. Just like Jesus did, because that's what we believe, you see? And we can all become gods, and we can all have our own little universes and all of that stuff. And, you know, there's a group out there that's very popular these days that believes just that. You know, they're called the Latter-day Saints. And so you have all these different people having all these different ideas about Jesus. But our text today tells us the absolute truth about Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me very quickly to Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, in Jesus. And through Jesus, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Now, listen to this. He's talking to you and me. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now Jesus Christ has reconciled you by His physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. How we focus on people, how we focus on things, how we focus on programs. And what the Apostle Paul here is saying today is that Jesus is the all and all. We focus on Him. He is everything. And we need to understand that as His followers. I have three simple points here today. But I believe this with all of my heart. If we can hold on to these points and we can live these points, if we live our life in knowledge of the things that we're going to talk about here today, it'll absolutely revolutionize our lives. And some of you say, well, I do that every day. And it does. But sometimes, even though we come to church regularly, even though we read our Bibles, even though we might listen to Christian music, we get to thinking that, you know, other things have power, when all we need is the power and presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Number one, without Jesus Christ, there is nothing. You hear what I'm saying? Without Jesus Christ, there is nothing. Without Jesus Christ, there is nothing. Let's go back to our scripture. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Without Jesus Christ, there is nothing. Without Jesus Christ, there is nothing. Do you understand what the Word is saying? Without Jesus Christ, there would be no universe. There would be no world. There would be no you. There would be no me. He keeps everything together. He holds all things together. John 14 said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Guess what the Word is? The Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was with God. And He was God. And He was made flesh and dwelt among us. Without Jesus Christ, there is nothing. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. If you understand the teachings of Jesus, then you have an insight into the teachings and the mind of God. Because Jesus is God. His teaching is the teaching of God. His actions are the actions of God. He holds all things together. I know you've probably heard this before, but I love it. You know, Jesus never wrote a book, yet more books have been written about Him than any other person in all of history. He never wrote a song, yet there have been more songs written about Him than any other person in history. He never marshaled an army, and yet He can call 10,000 angels down anytime He wanted while He was here on this earth. He is the supreme ruler. He is our Savior and Lord. Great men have come and gone, but Jesus lives on. I looked into genealogy a little bit a while back, and you think about vital people, men and women who were unbelievably important during their time. They had great influence. They raised wonderful families. You know, they had a huge impact on their community. And as we go through this timeline, I mean, you've got 1850 and then you've got like 1970. Because we don't know that much about all that time. We don't know anything about that time. And yet, don't you imagine there were great men during that time that had great influence, rose, you know, grew great families? Don't you know there were great, strong women that lived wonderful lives? And we don't. They lived. They died. They're gone from this earth. And if they're Christians, we're going to see them in heaven someday. But the point is that you and I are flesh. We are dust. We come and go. But Jesus Christ lives forever. And we know that He is here today. Herod could not kill Him when He was a baby. Satan could not seduce Him when He was in the wilderness as a young man. He is the risen, reigning, returning Lord of all the universe. And you see, we need to know that. We need to understand that. Because when people of other faiths and other denominations say, well, you know, there are other ways to God. Let me tell you something. The Bible says there is no other way to God. There is no other way. And so either the Bible is wrong and Jesus isn't all the things the Apostle Paul said He was in our text today, or those people are wrong. And I'm not trying to be harsh. All of you parents out there, how many times did your children come to you when they were little and they just were absolutely, positively, for sure that something was right? And they were wrong. And they argue with you. Oh, Daddy, but no, Daddy, this is the way it is, Daddy. No, son, it's not. And as much as it pains you to hurt their enthusiasm and stuff, you had to share the truth with them, if it was important. And we need to be willing to stand up and share the truth with our world. That Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. He is our Savior. He came as our Savior. He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession on our behalf at this very moment. And one of these days He's going to come back. And He's going to come back as a sovereign king. Without Jesus, there is nothing. You hear that? Do you believe that? Because some of you are looking at me like, I don't know, man. I just don't know. Without Jesus, there is nothing. Number two, without Jesus, the church is nothing. Without Jesus, the church is nothing. Look at verses 18 and 19. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. Guys, I'm not picking on anybody. But when we elevate people and we make them almost Jesus, we're making a big mistake. When we say this group, you know, is special or this guy, or you know, there are people There are denominations that do that, and they create saints. But you know, we Baptists can create saints too. I mean, have you ever seen a pastor that was so beloved that he was just, you know, here's Jesus and here's Brother so-and-so right there. You know, the fact of the matter is that the Bible only talks about Jesus Christ being supreme. Jesus Christ is supreme. Nobody else. Nobody else. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. And if you don't believe me, you know, get your books out or Google it this afternoon and read up on it. But guys, Buddhism could exist without the Buddha. If you understand anything about Buddhism, you can understand it could exist without the Buddha. Confucianism could exist without Confucius. But Christianity could not exist without Jesus Christ. He is not the founder of Christianity. He is the foundation and all of Christianity. You see, we know that there are certain things we should do, and we know that there are things that the Bible teaches us. And we have this set of rules, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that. But when you get right down to it, every religion has that stuff. What makes Christianity different is that our faith is not built on a set of rules. Our faith is built on the person of Jesus Christ. His life, His resurrection, His death, and His resurrection. You may have heard this before, but it's one of my favorite quotes, so just bear with me. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, when he was writing at Cambridge and Oxford, said this, and I quote, "To say I accept Jesus Christ as a great human teacher, but I do not accept His claim to be God, is a thing we must not say. For a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great human teacher. He would be a lunatic on the order of someone who calls himself a poached egg. Or he would be the devil himself." You say, why would C.S. Lewis say that about Jesus? Well, think about it. If a man claims to be the Son of God, claims to be the Savior of the world, claims to be the only hope for mankind, and he's not who he said he is, he's either delusional and crazy, or he's lying and misleading people. And so what Lewis was doing was he was writing against the intellectuals of his day. You know, Cambridge and Oxford, those are kind of pretty well-known places of study, of learning. And he was writing against these guys that were saying, you know, we understand the concept of Jesus. We understand the principles that Jesus' life represents. Jesus was a good teacher. He was a good man. He was a good example. And what Lewis is saying here is, no. Either Jesus was who he said he was, or he wasn't a good man at all. You can't have it both ways. And we can't either. We must make up our minds about Jesus. And I want to stop right here, and I want you to think, now you're sitting there thinking, oh, Pastor, you know, I made up my mind about Jesus a long time ago. And I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. And I was baptized, and I became a member of the church. And I made up my mind about Jesus a long time ago. Okay. But do you live your life every single day? And do you make decisions in your life every single day with the number one thing that you consider before you make that decision, the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life? Is that more important than anything else? I'm telling you, I've had Christians that listened more to Oprah and Dr. Phil than to Jesus Christ. Now that's crazy to me. Is it crazy to you? Because I want to tell you something. Oprah is not going to be here 100 years from now, and there'll be somebody else like her. And Dr. Phil's not going to be here 100 years from now. There'll be somebody else like him. If the world's still going at that time, we don't know. People come and go. You know, the Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about how there will come a time when men only listen to the things that tickle their ears and the things that they like to hear. And they won't listen to the true Word of God because they don't like what it says. Without Jesus, there is nothing. Without Jesus, the church is nothing. And without Jesus, we are nothing. I know that goes against what we're taught today. Hey, every person has value. And we all have value. But we have value because we're all creations of God. Without Jesus, we are nothing. Look at verses 20 and 22 very quickly. And through Jesus Christ, to reconcile to himself, to God, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, the Apostle Paul is saying this. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now Christ has reconciled you by his physical body through death to present you holy in God's sight without blemish and free from accusation. You see, what that tells us is that his sacrifice reconciled all to himself. His blood brought peace for all that believe in him. Once we were enemies with God, now we are reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. And that's what I believe. We are reconciled to God. And because we are reconciled, even though I'm a sinner, I'm blameless. Even though I have faults, I am free from accusation because I am washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not okay in God's eyes because of myself. I am okay because I have been saved by my Savior, washed in His blood, and He has created a new person within me. Still sinful, still fallen in some ways, but born again to a new kind of life. I want us to talk about it. We haven't talked about this since I've been your interim pastor, but I want you to think about this. Guys, it's really, really important that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I like to say, I heard a guy speaking not long ago, and I'd never thought about this. He said, you know, if you think about it, God has no grandchildren. And I thought that a minute, what do you mean God has no grandchildren? He said, God has no grandchildren. He said, you don't become part of the family because your mommy and daddy were Christians. God only has children, not grandchildren. And so you see, each and every one of us must come to that place in our lives where we understand our need for forgiveness, that we are sinners and we need a Savior. And in humility, we come before God through Jesus Christ and ask for His forgiveness, so that we can be a part of His family. Every single one of us has to do that because God has no grandchildren. But oh, He's always open to bring in other children into His family. Without Jesus, there is nothing. Without Jesus, the church is nothing. And without Jesus, you and I are nothing. And I want to ask you, Do you feel a close relationship with Jesus Christ today? I've done this a few times. I didn't do it today, but sometimes I would put an empty chair up here and we would invite Jesus to the service. Ask Him to sit in and be with us. And you say, oh, that's silly. Jesus is always here. Yeah, He is. He is. But you know, sometimes when we picture Him sitting here, it makes it more real to us. And I want to ask you, if Jesus was sitting here today and He was looking out at you with those eyes that know every single thing about you, would He be pleased with your life? Would He look out with a smile on His face and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or would He say, oh, we don't spend the time that we once spent. You don't talk to me like you once did. You don't listen to me like you once did. Quite honestly, we're just not as close as we once were. Would He be up here saying, oh, I want you to come home. I want you to come back. I want you to come and walk with me every single day. Because I love you. I died for you. I talked to the Father on your behalf. But I really want to spend more time with you. See, I don't know where you are. I don't know how you'd answer that question this morning. Only you can answer that. But it's really, really important that you do. It's important that you think about that. And you ask, am I walking with Jesus the way that He would want me to walk with Him? Now, before we close, I just want to say this. If you have never come to that place in your life where you've acknowledged your sin to God, and you've asked for forgiveness and accepted the forgiveness that Jesus can give through His sacrifice on the cross, then our scripture today says you're still alienated from God and you don't have a place in His family. You see, Jesus Christ died for all of us, but you have to accept His forgiveness. It's like a gift that's being offered to you, but you've got to accept it. If you turn it away, then you don't receive it. So, we're going to pray here in a minute and we're going to close the service. But if there's any doubt in your mind about whether you're part of God's family or not, that you've been born again to a new kind of life that the Bible talks about, then you need to get that straight. And you need to get it straight quickly. I want to tell you a very quick story and then we'll close. I grew up at the First Baptist Church of Rockwall, as many of y'all know. I grew up on the cradle roll. That means that before I was born, my name was in the book and they were waiting on me to get there. Well, once I got there, I went into the nursery and all of that. I went to Vacation Bible School growing up. I did all of that stuff. And then one night, I remember we were having a service, and I just felt like that it was time for me to ask Jesus into my heart. And I did. And I came forward, and I was baptized at the old church building up there on the side of the square. That's some weird church now. I don't even know who they are anymore, but anyway. And so I did all that. But then, when I was in, you know, you grow up and you lose interest, and my parents weren't the biggest church-going people, so we didn't go all the time and all that. And then I got involved in the youth group, and we had some really dynamic youth leaders, and I really started getting into the Word for the first time in my life, you know, and I started reading the Bible and really praying, and I started having these doubts. Am I really a Christian? I mean, I was a little guy when I did that. When I made that decision, am I really? And I remember our youth minister said, look, if you have any doubts whatsoever, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to drive a nail into the wall tonight And he said, you drive that nail into the wall tonight and you'll hang the rest of your life on that nail. And what he meant was this. If there's any doubt whatsoever that you're part of the family of God, then just be honest with God. Talk to him. Tell him what you think. Tell him how you're feeling. And say, God, I don't know. I don't even know. I know I was baptized, but baptism doesn't save you. And I know, you know, all that stuff. But God, wherever I am, I ask tonight that you forgive me of my sins, that you come into my life, that you create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. And from this night forward, I will never, ever, ever doubt again that I'm part of your family. And so that's what I did. And from that night forward, I've never, ever doubted that I was part of God's family. Now, guys, I would never, ever encourage you to do so. You know, preachers get, there are churches that rebaptize the same people over and over and over again. You know what I mean? We don't ever want to be like that. That's not what this is about. This is about knowing in your heart of hearts that you're part of the family of God. That Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins. And you have a place with God in his family. So, I encourage you. If you know for sure that you're part of God's family, great. But if you don't, maybe you need to drive a nail in the wall. And know from this point forward, never to doubt again, that Jesus Christ has forgiven me and saved me of my sins. Without Jesus, there is nothing. Without Jesus, the church is nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we are nothing.